Hey, I'm talking to you.
Please stand by.
It's the week of September 26, 2005. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat, show number 31.
Wow.
Wow? Is that a wow thing? Was it wow? Like, that's all we have?
Wow.
All this work and that's it?
And that's it.
Our body of work is encapsulated by 31 shows. Actually, 30 shows.
This is the 31st.
This will be one for the vault. This will be the best. Or could be the worst.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure yet.
I think it might be the best. I'm drinking a beer.
Woo!
I'm drinking a chronic inebriant beer.
Well, it's a really good beer, too.
Oh, it's only 24 ounces. I was hoping it was 32.
It's a Miller Lite. Ugh, it's a big can of Miller Lite. And when she came over, she was sipping it from a straw. That's so classy. Classy lassie. So, did you have a nice birthday?
I had a very nice birthday. You know, I'm actually considering this my birthday week. It is starting with my birthday. And as you know, I went out to dinner with a friend.
Yes, you did. A special friend?
Well, a friend.
Oh.
And, you know, as it turns out, it wasn't a great dinner. The conversation was great. I had a good time. The dessert was pretty good, but the dinner overall wasn't great. I went to Arcadoro Pomodoro.
That's supposed to be good.
I didn't like it. It's Italian, and I didn't hate it.
Right.
I just didn't love it.
Well, it's a pretty pricey place. It's nice, and it's got a good reputation, so you're expecting good stuff there.
Yes, I was kind of disappointed. Anyway, what'd you do?
Well, what did we do over the weekend? I saw two movies. First movie I saw was Proof.
Hmm.
That was the one. You'd like this one. Very mathy.
Really?
Yes, they were proving proofs.
Where did you see this at?
I was at the Angelica.
Oh.
And it was very good. It was with Gwyneth Paltrow and Anthony Hopkins, and they were both playing like a math duo. In fact, there's all kinds of math references. There's a math nerdy band. I mean, the whole gang of people were math people.
What's a math duo?
A math duo. Father and son math duo. They did proofs together. It was
Did Gwyneth play the father or the son?
Gwyneth played the father. No.
I'm so confused.
Gwyneth was the daughter. I'm sorry. Did I say father and son combo? Father and daughter combo.
Ah.
Yeah. Very good movie. Very enjoyable. A little bit lightweight, but I liked it.
How did it compare to something like A Beautiful Mind?
Well, you know, that's a very comparable picture. That and also Good Will Hunting comes to mind.
Good Will Hunting, right?
Yeah. Good Will Hunting was probably a stronger movie. Probably Intelligent. What was it? Beautiful Mind was too. Proof probably wasn't quite as good as those two, but you need to go see it. You'll like it from the math perspective. They find this proof, and he gets all excited about it. And
does he say Eureka and run outside from the bathtub?
Pretty much.
Hmm.
And then I came home and I looked up some of my old proofs. And I sent them to all the publications. I was so excited by them.
And did you say QED left and right? QED.
QED, exactly. The other movie that we saw was the first movie of Talk Cinema. You know, the Talk Cinema series that I like so much started up this fall. That's a cinema series where you go to movies, normally foreign or independent movies. You don't know what it is going in, and they also have a reviewer afterwards to discuss it. So you're kind of surprised. This movie was called Everything is Illuminated. You ever heard of it?
No.
It was based on a book by this like 25-year-old Jewish kid from Colombia. It's about an American Jewish kid who goes over to the Ukraine and looks for his grandfather's old village that is not there anymore, that was decimated by the Germans, by the Nazis in World War II. And it was at times very emotional and, you know, very beautiful. And at times very quirky. And I think it was intentionally very quirky. The reviewer was Robert Walonski from the Dallas Observer, who's been there quite a few times. In fact, he's actually hosting the series this time. He said the byline on this movie is, one other reviewer, I think of the Village Voice, said, if you're Jewish and you have lost relatives in the Holocaust, then this is an absolute must-see. But it was very good. I enjoyed it. And the great thing about Talk Cinema is, you see movies that you wouldn't normally go go-to otherwise.
So what were the what was the general consensus from the audience? Did they ask questions that indicated they were liking the movie?
Yeah. Generally, I think people liked it. But what was strange is the director chose to end the movie differently than the guy did in the book. And Robert Wolonsky told us how, you know, the book ended, and we all pretty much agreed, yeah, it was weird to move it, to change the ending.
Oh, really? It wasn't, so you thought the book ending was better?
That's the general consensus of what people thought, and I totally agree. It was really bizarre for him to sort of end it in a different way. It didn't make the movie a lot worse, but it did, you know, kind of, you know, sort of scratch your head. Why did he do that? Why bother? So that was my weekend.
Well, that sounds a lot more exciting than my weekend, but as you know, it was my birthday weekend.
It was your birthday weekend.
Although we're actually going to do more this weekend than last weekend.
Yes, we are. And don't forget, we had the lovely Rita come and make a visit.
Oh, yeah. That's right. She was pretty. It was a total bust, if you ask me.
I feel blown off. I feel like there's this great promise of this incredible, wild, you know, exotic woman, and she just blew us off.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, we got a little wind on Saturday. Sunday was supposed to be, you know, just rain all over the place, right? It was a beautiful smell. It wasn't a beautiful. It was a hot, sunny day. In fact, we had rented Key Largo to get us in the hurricane mood, and Rita never came.
I'm sure there are people who could potentially be listening and thinking that this is very irreverent of us to be saying
that.
I
know. I thought about that.
And, you know, I would have to say that I think it goes without saying that we, of course, have sympathy for those people who've lost everything.
Absolutely.
In the hurricanes. And, you know, if we complain about not having any rain here, it's only because it's kind of hot here. And, of course, we knew that nothing really bad was going to happen here.
And we've had half the rainfall of the normal year so far in Dallas, so we really needed the rain. But hey, even Jon Stewart on The Daily Show was making fun of it. He said, you know, it just shows you the sequels, not as good.
That's funny. Now, I heard on Wait, Don't Tell Me, there's some guy, and now I don't remember exactly what his qualifications are, but he was basically saying something like, he thought that the hurricanes were being orchestrated by the Russian mob.
I thought you were going to say by the Lord.
Because
I've heard all kinds of theories.
Last year's big hurricane was Ivan, and this year's big hurricane was Katrina.
Katrina.
Russian names. As you know, Jeff, I have two dogs.
Yeah, I know.
Belle and Shotgun.
Yep,
last
we know.
Week I had quite a doggy week.
Great.
Yeah. It all started on Sunday.
Hmm.
I went walking, and this one guy said, hey, there's two loose dogs. So I went one street up, and I saw this lady, and she said, hey, there's two loose dogs. So by this time, I couldn't go one more street up. I had to go up the alley, and in the alley, I see the two stray dogs.
Wow.
So, you know, I turn around and I go home. No problem.
Right.
I think, though, by that time, then it became Monday morning and I'm walking the dogs and I see my neighbor and my neighbor says, there's two stray dogs. And I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of the two stray dogs. So I continue walking the dogs and I get to, you know, a certain portion on my walk and I run into a new stray dog that follows me home.
Wow.
So I took him home with me, and I feel bad, but I did call the Dallas Animal Control, and they took him away.
Really?
Yes. And he was a nice dog. He was sweet. He was about shotgun side. He ran around. But, okay, so I come home on Monday evening, and I have to deal with the other two stray dogs, the Sunday stray dogs. There's a woman in the neighborhood, and she's a very sweet woman. She's really cute. She's about 31, short blonde hair, bubbly. I really liked her. She had three dogs. Two of them were pit bull dogs.
Nice.
In fact, I went to her house. Her dog scared me so much, I couldn't even look him in the face.
Wow.
Nonetheless, It's a long story, and I'm just going to make it short by saying through the whole week, I continued talking with her about these two stray dogs. That was Tuesday.
Okay.
Wednesday, I go to work, stop at 7-Eleven. Where else? I'm getting out of the car to walk into the 7-Eleven, and what do you think I saw?
I don't know what you saw.
Three dogs. A stray male pit bull, a mommy pit bull, and a baby pit bull.
Oh, they're just hanging out by the 7-Eleven looking for scraps?
They're walking past the 7-Eleven, and the adult dogs are kind of walking around like they know what they're doing. I'm looking around. I can't figure out. It doesn't look like anybody owns them. So I start running after the puppy because they were kind of – this was on Northwest Highway, which is pretty busy.
Right.
So I start running after the baby one, and he's running away from me. I start yelling at the guys, help me catch that dog. Get that dog. Get that dog. And they're looking at me like, what is wrong with you?
Wow, you're really turning into a dog lady.
So I went ahead and I ran after that puppy and I picked him up and I threw him in my car and I took him to work because right outside our work, we've got a little, my company built a dog run. So I put the dog in the dog run.
Bring your doggy to work.
So that night I brought home the dog and it, to me, appeared.
How was that?
Huh? This dog was so cute. In fact, Jeffy, I hope you'll post a picture of him. Just because he was so cute, I cannot believe how cute he was. I decided to call him Frito, like in Frito-Lay. He was brindle-colored with a white, with all his paws were white, and he had white on his snout, and he was just adorable. He looked to me to be about 3 or 4 months old. And when he walked around my house, because he weighed about, I guess, about 22 pounds. He was like, clump, 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 clump. He was cracking me up. But I introduced him to Belle and Shotgun, and it wasn't a good story.
Really? Did they love each other?
They didn't love each other. In fact, little Frito growled what I would call a devil dog growl.
Wow.
I was scared. And, the minute he growled that way, Belle was more willing to sort of let bygones be bygones. She is the alpha dog, but she was just kind of like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a problem. I think I'm going to go sit on my chair. Shotgun, on the other hand, was like, oh, you want a piece of me? Well, the hair was standing up on the back of his on his back, and it was a nightmare. I put the puppy in the crate. He didn't like the crate. I thought, well, maybe if I cover it, it'll calm him down. He didn't like it covered. It was a nightmare. I eventually did go to sleep at about 11 o'clock. I put Shotgun in the crate and in another room, and I put the puppy on the bed, and he slept with me, and he was so sweet. He burrowed up next to me, and he wanted to be next to me, and I could tell he liked me. He liked being with me. But the next morning I wake up, and I have the whole nightmare again.
Wow.
And I did take him in to get neutered and get checked out. And lucky for me, he spent another night at the kennel. But the next day, I work with an organization called Companion Animal Network. And they found somebody to foster him for me.
Oh, good.
But, so, that was Thursday, I think, that got taken care of. But I still continued to hear from the cute little blonde girl with the pit bulldogs
right.
throughout the week about these two stray dogs. I'm not sure exactly what happened to them. And then the final thing was, there was something final. I can't remember it. Anyway, I was glad for the week to end. I just thought to myself, I don't want to meet any more stray dogs. It's too stressful.
It's a burden. Kind of reminds me of our friend Carol and cats. Whenever she sees a stray cat, it's a 12-hour ordeal of taking him to the vet, worrying about him, how he's going to work with the cats at home, and it's for you people that chase strays. You just can't help yourselves. It's a burden.
Well, it is a burden. And, it all revolved around I didn't want to see any of these animals get hit by a car. And, I would have picked up the adult pits, but I was kind of scared of them.
Right.
Anyway.
Wow.
My week went to the dogs, and I hope I have no more doggy weekends. Weeks.
Okay. Well, Pat, one thing that I don't know how I feel about this. We have 45 votes on Podcast Alley this month. It's about the end of the month, right?
Yeah.
And didn't we get 3 digits like almost every month?
No, we never got 3 digits.
Oh, we didn't?
I think one time we got close to 100 votes.
Oh, okay. Maybe I don't feel so bad then. Because it's just weird. It's like we have more people listening to the show now but less people voting for us.
I know. I have to admit, I used to like to look at our rankings when we were in the top 50, and now we're not. And I let it go. And I've just decided there's lots of really good podcasts, some that are my favorites, and they're not even in the top, 200.
Well, I know. That's the thing. Whenever I feel down about it, which I shouldn't, being 70 is great, I think that's what we are not right now. And slipping, by the way.
And slipping. If you've not voted,
Every time you go down, you look at it, it slips. But if you look at some of the shows that are ahead of us, you think, these are great shows. If you look at some of the shows that are behind us, like you said, you can find great shows. So what are you going to do?
And, at this point, this late in the week, this late in the month, it doesn't, save your vote for October.
Yeah,
don't
even bother now. But if you think about it, give us a vote. It's the only thing that makes us feel good. We don't want to get money out of this thing, and that's our only thing. Actually, that's not true. Your comments make us feel good too.
Your love is better than ice cream.
I wanted to talk about something I saw in the paper this week, and apparently the Iraqi women, this is like a big issue, because of the overthrow of Saddam, who kept like a pretty tight noose around these extremist groups. The extremist groups in Iraq are coming in and basically denying women freedoms, it's a whole ironic thing going on, right? We're liberating Iraq. And because of this liberation, the Iraqi men, I guess, are choosing, they want veils on their women.
Well, they probably think that their veiled women are happier being veiled.
Right. Well, they said women are insulted if they show too much skin or walk in public without wearing the Islamic veil or hijab to cover their hair. So, I don't know what to think about that.
Being a woman... I remember when I was at Florida State talking to some Saudi guys, and I remember a guy telling me one time that he married a virgin and he paid like $20,000 for her.
And, that's all? Wow, that's a bargain. I'll take two.
This was a long time ago. It was worth more then. And I remember I wasn't a virgin at the time, and I remember thinking, huh.
But now you are one, right?
Well, yeah. After a while, you get re-virginized.
Right. You get that operation.
And I also remember a Saudi guy telling me that Arab men treated that they cared more about their women than American men did because they took better care of them. They made sure that they were never, they never had to be in the presence of men who might take advantage of them and all this other stuff. That as I listened to it, I thought that's just a bunch of crap.
Right.
If I want to wear a veil, great. I want to wear a veil. But if I don't want to wear one, I don't want to wear one.
You want the choice.
Right.
Well,
I think how women get freedom is that men don't have expectations from them.
Right. Well, here's a quote. We cover and change the way we dress unwillingly due to pressure, says Jinan Mubarak, a Muslim who heads the Iraqi Center for Training and Employing Women in Baghdad. She said, now get this, there are some neighborhoods that are completely off limits for women if they're unveiled, saying a woman like herself, which is pretty modern, are forced to change their behavior in this environment. So, and another, you see placards all over the city that say this. This is kind of interesting. To all unveiled Muslim sisters and Christian sisters, include Christians here, you should wear a veil because Virgin Mary used to be veiled.
Ugh.
So there you go. Now, this is a consequence of freedom, so I'm not even suggesting that it was better before Saddam or whatever, or anything like that. People have the freedom to choose this, I guess. But it's kind of weird. This is what freedom delivers in these kind of countries.
I guess. I also remember one time hearing about, I think it was in Saudi Arabia, they were talking about how there were some men who did want some things to change because they started thinking, If my woman, you know, as it stands now, I have to spend a lot of my time protecting her and making sure that nobody takes advantage of her and she can't go out by herself and I have to take her to the store and I have to do that.
Right.
If those all those rules went away, she could go take care of all this stuff herself and I'd have more free time.
Right. I'm sure there are people like that. And also, I'll bet there's a, you know, a big city, small village thing too. Just like anywhere in the world, right? There's different cultures in the big cities than there are in the small villages. Small villages tend to be more conservative, and there's probably a little more accepting of the veils. In big cities, there's probably more people that want to be a little more independent, you know?
Well, I guess as long as there is a woman who would like to be unveiled and wants to go to work, she, you know, if there are people who are telling her she can't do that, she doesn't have freedom.
Right. That's right. There's no freedom.
Even if, you know, everybody else is happy with the status quo, she doesn't have freedom.
I know. Huh. Go figure.
Anyways,
so another thing in the news, not quite as heavy as that kind of made me laugh. It's this Holloway's mom, what's her first name? The 18-year-old.
Natalie.
Natalie's mom is convinced, and she's told CNN, that the guy from Holland is lying about, you know, having
his
involvement in having sex with her daughter and being involved with the murder or whatever. Still don't know if it's a murder, but, you know, I guess
disappearance.
The disappearance, let's say. But what I just found funny about that is, you know, he's been through court and the authorities have taken testimony after testimony with him and the two other fellas that were involved with this. And this mother wasn't privy to any of that. But she is convinced this is the law. She knows. She knows better than any of the authorities. And so I'm glad. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been paying. That's a story that I chose not to pay any attention to. I thought that, you know, there are way too many people that are missing. And what? Are we paying attention to it because she's pretty?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, basically. It's kind of interesting. And before Hurricane Katrina, Greta Van Sestern, I think is her name, a mm-hmm. Fox analyst, mm-hmm. was at Aruba. And Pat, she was there for 2 months, I think, every night covering this story. The media is so weird. But you know, I was tuning in. I mean, I would tune in right before I went to bed. I'd see, what's the latest with Natalie? Like, I cared. I want everybody to know that Natalie's right here. Hi, Natalie.
I mean, I guess her mom, you gotta say, she's tenacious.
Oh, no, I admire her. She's tenacious. I'm just saying at this point, well, first of all, she's not
a
lawyer.
She might also be annoying.
She doesn't have the testimony. And at this point, she's invested too much and she's too close to obviously, you know, have a very unbiased opinion on any of this.
Yeah.
So, but why does CNN put it on the front page? Here's the headline. Absolutely, he's lying, Holloway's mom says. That's the headline on the front page of CNN. It's bad journalism.
It's crazy.
Crazy out there.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Can we talk about one of my favorite topics?
What would that be?
7-Eleven.
Let me play the music.
7-Eleven.
St. Kevin.
7-Eleven.
St. Kevin.
It's time for Fat 7-Eleven update.
So I did stop by a 7-Eleven on my way to your house, and I got a new hot dog, a bratwurst.
Oh, I love bratwurst.
Yes, and
how is a bratwurst new?
Well, it was a new flavor.
Flavor? Bratwurst is bratwurst.
It was a new flavor, and
you
I forgot what the flavor it was, Jeff.
All right.
Anyway, it was kind of good. I mean, the bratwurst was really yummy. I was a little disappointed in the freshness of the bread. I thought it could have been more soft and fluffy.
Well, maybe you should have microwaved it a little bit. Did they do that?
I don't know what they did, but it was good. But of course, I did check out the pastry case, and I wanted to tell you about their two latest creations.
All right.
One is the caramel apple donut.
Hmm.
And the other one is the Heath Bar Muffin.
Well, that sounds good.
Well, I wanted to, you know, it's so funny, 7-Eleven. Listen to how they describe the caramel apple donut. It's a cake donut with applesauce drizzled with caramel icing.
Huh.
And the Heath Bar Muffin is a moist muffin with Heath Bar Crunch drizzled with rich chocolate. Rich chocolate.
Very similar descriptions, though.
Drizzled. That, you're just focusing on the word drizzled.
Drizzled. Where do they have the description?
Well, they make these, they have, you know, they go through the whole deal. They make nice little labels, and it's on the label. These are $1.49. I haven't had either of them. I never get them because I'm actually trying to lose weight because...
Oh, and the bratwurst helps with that? Ba-dum-bump.
Gained some weight. That was dinner.
Okay.
And I got a diet beer. Anyway, 7-Eleven. I still love 7-Eleven a lot. Oh, I forgot. When I found the puppy?
Yeah.
It was outside of 7-Eleven, so I drove by 7-Eleven at lunchtime. I went in there, and I know the manager, and I told him the story, and I said, let me know if anybody tells you, you know, this animal was their pet, because I just scooped it up and threw it in my car. I didn't go in the store. I didn't ask anybody. I just, you know, I felt like I was stealing him almost. And he said nobody talked to him, and the next day I went in again, and I said, did anybody say anything about the puppy? No. But I kind of like knowing my 7-Eleven folks.
It's nice. You have a nice little relationship there. Now, see, I have never been in a 7-Eleven. I don't know what that store is, actually.
You've been to a 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. Is it open from 7 to 11?
Actually, it's open from 8 to 9.
8 to 9?
No, it's open more. I don't know.
12 to 12.
12 to 12. There you go.
I'm being silly. Well, Pat, we did have a couple reactions to last week's show.
Really?
Yep. I'll play the first one.
Hi, my name is Steve. I've written to you guys before as Abitangelo, so you might recognize that at Gmail. I just wanted to wish Pat a happy frickin' birthday. My birthday was yesterday, and I'm in the same decade as Pat is. Also, one more thing about IQ tests. I'm not going to say anything that's extremely pissy here, but come on. A test is a test, and if you do really well at it, it means you're really good at passing tests. It doesn't mean you're really, really smart, necessarily. And they're definitely testing for skewed things. Most IQ tests are written by men, not by women, so of course it's going to be like, you know, 2 to 1, et cetera, et cetera. But your life experience should tell you that we have not survived as a species because women were... really stupid men were really smart. It's just not been that way. I think it's kind of obvious. So talk to you guys later. And I'll just talk to you through. I came on a cell phone, so I'm probably breaking up a little bit. I hope it didn't happen. See you later.
That was Steve, or the way he calls himself is Abitangelo. And, you know, I don't disagree with what he said about the IQ tests. I mean, it's sort of like, how good are you? Some people are going to be better at taking those kind of tests.
I think we had somebody else send us an email message, the radio filibuster guy.
Yeah.
I thought his comments were thoughtful. And
very much
made,
so.
And what I like the most about it is they said, we agree. It doesn't make sense that there are smarter men than women. That there must be something wrong with the study.
Yeah, I agree. Although I don't want to agree. All right, here's another.
I'm smarter than you.
No, you're not.
I am.
Not even close. Not even close.
A lot smarter.
We'll have a show just on how much smarter I am than Pat.
Huh.
That'll be the next show. Here's another voicemail from our friend Ferg.
I love Ferg.
Hey, guys. This is Ferg. I was just listening to your latest episode, and I don't know exactly how the kids are doing it these days, but back when I was like 12 or 13, we used to do this thing where you would, let's see, how would you do it? You would sit on the bed, on the edge of the bed, and take like 10 really, really deep breaths in and out, and then immediately pull your chest down like to your knees for say like 10 seconds or something like that, so that you were somewhat constricted. Okay, and then you would look up at the ceiling, and while you were doing that, another person would kind of apply pressure to your neck around the area of your glands, whatever glands it are that you check for them to be swollen if you have a sore throat or something like that. And then what would happen is you would pass out, and then just briefly, you know, you kind of relax back on the bed and you'd wake up and you'd be all kind of tingly and that sort of thing. So I don't know if that's how the kids are doing it these days, but that's how we did it back then. And I think it was just more the issue of it was cool, I guess. We weren't really choking each other, and I don't really know exactly what was going on, and I never really felt like there was any danger involved because, you know, since you're not doing it yourself, you're not asphyxiating yourself, I guess, with a rope or a necktie or something like that. There's no real danger. I mean, you pass out, and I don't know. It sounds kind of crazy now. I remember I was at my cousin's house, and I was performing this magic on my cousins, and I got in trouble with my uncle. So, anyway, that's the only light I can shed on it. If you want some more detailed instructions, just let me know.
All right. Well, I don't think I've ever done that when I was a kid. How about you?
I never did stupid things.
I know. But that was pretty funny. So thank you, Ferg, for sending that in. And go listen to Air Ferg if you want more juicy tidbits like that.
He's a disturbed man.
By the way, speaking about Ferg, if you guys have noticed, we haven't done sort of a bit lately.
No, and you haven't really come up with, if you listen to Air Ferg, he has lots of songs, Jeff, and I think you're falling down on the song.
Yeah, I know, but you know,
arena.
time has been, I think Ferg can just put that stuff together faster than I am.
He must be a genius.
He's quick. I think he's just really fast, even with the bits and things. But what I wanted to say about that is Pat and I love doing the bits. I think some of them aren't all that successful, and some of them I think you guys
still
think
like
are fun.
Doing them.
Yeah, they're fun to do. And I actually can write them pretty fast, but I'm really bad at coming up with ideas. So if you guys just have any scenarios in mind, anything, you don't have to have any punchlines or anything, just throw some ideas our way. We might have some fun with them. And Ferg sent in that one suggestion to you, Pat, and I thought it was actually a good suggestion. It's a little bit late now because it was kind of a timely thing.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think it is. It's too late for that one.
It's too late?
Yeah, it's too late. 'Cause,
why?
Oh, because that podcast song that was part of it is nobody cares about that anymore.
Okay, no. We'll talk about it later.
All right. Anyway, so that's that.
I think Ferg wants me to do a skit such that, you know, like I fall in love with some guy at 7-Eleven.
I think maybe we'll do that. I can work with that one.
He thinks I might seduce somebody from 7-Eleven.
Oh, that's a good one. Just kidding. You hear that music?
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
It's time for your Dallas Minute!
Yay!
So dorky. I love doing it. Okay. Do you have a Dallas Minute for us, or should I go first?
Go first, Jeff.
All right. I went to a new restaurant.
You did?
Yeah. And it was called Asian Mint.
Mmm, yummy.
You ever heard of it?
Never.
Why'd you say yummy?
Mint.
Mint and Asian.
Mint. Well, when I think of mint, I think of...
Minty fresh?
No, I think of those mints that come in, you know, the curiously strong mints. And I think about getting my mouth all minty and putting it places.
Yum. Well, this place had like mint leaves all over the wall, like big pictures of mint leaves.
Mm.
Anyways, it was good. I was very impressed. It got a Guide Live pick. Shoko found it.
And where is it?
I'd never heard of it before. It's up like around Forest and Central.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, and I go by that a lot.
You know what? It's a very small and unassuming place, kind of in the back, you know, one of these strip mall places.
Was it expensive?
No, it was reasonably priced. It's kind of a fusion, and I asked the waitress if the food was from Fuja. And she kind of looked at me funny, like... I don't know what this American is asking me.
You didn't ask her that.
But I thought it was good. I did.
You did? Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, ask Shoko.
Is this food from Fuchsia?
I think Shoko was embarrassed for me.
So, what did you have?
Well, I wanted to say what I had. I had what's called Pad Ki Mao. Pad Ki Mao.
Hmm.
And what they described it as sort of like, this is the new Pad Thai. We all like Pad Thai. And Shoko had the Pad Thai. this Pad Ki Mao was similar to Pad Thai, but it was more of like a chili, Thai chili basil sauce, and it was spicy, and it was incredibly good.
Huh.
I want to go back and get some more.
I want to go with
you. Get some more of that stuff. And Shoko had the Pad Thai, and I've had a lot of Pad Thai, so it's easy for me to sort of rate the Pad Thais.
And how was it?
Very good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, very fresh. Sometimes you get these Pad Thais that feel like they've been in the refrigerator for a long time and just heated up.
How does it compare to mango? You know, mango's on Lover's Lane?
Yeah, you know, it's been a long time. I've only been to Mango's once, and I think it's been at least a year since I went, so I can't quite remember. So that was my Dallas Minute. Oh, okay. I did want to just real briefly say, I'll have a review. There's a play called Tina Modetti that we're going to go see Friday night. It's about this actress photographer from the 20s. She was born in Italy, but she sort of did her stuff around Mexico. And she was a contemporary of Frida Kahlo's and Diego Rivera's. It's showing at the Teatro Dallas, and I'm excited. It's gotten good reviews, and I love that sort of... that bohemian time in Mexico in the 20s, you know? So she was one of those creative women that died too young.
I see. So. Well, I got nothing for my Dallas Minute, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking about doing.
Okay.
I'm thinking about going to Plano. Does that count for a Dallas Minute?
Sure.
I'm thinking about going to Plano. They have some, I was going to go there this Saturday with my doggies because they have something that's called the K9 Kerplunk.
Kerplunk?
Yes, evidently. Lots of city pools at the end of the season open up their pool to the dogs.
Oh, that's so funny, because at that time they just say, well, we're going to empty it anyways. So
exactly.
That's fun.
So I'm going to take my doggies to the Kerplunk.
You should bring the mics.
It goes from 2 to 9.
Okay.
Two to 3.
2 to 3.
Someplace in Plano.
Oh, only for an hour. Only an hour window, huh?
No, I'm sorry. 9 to 3.
Oh,
I knew there
sense.
Was a 9 in there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking they'll have fun. I'm
going to
push
like
them in the water
time.
Even if they don't want to go.
Well, I don't think Susan would like that.
No.
But hey, that sounds like fun. All right. Well, I did want to give some acknowledgments to all the people that gave us feedback this week. Brad P., Jay Strum, Ferg and Shelley from Air Ferg, Julie, who is 13 years old. You better be, you know, covering your ears sometimes. Joe, Charlie and Carol from Israelisms. Ah, take that,
you
Charlie.
You said it right,
take
Jeff.
Take that.
So proud I may cry.
Ako-san from Tokyo, who listens in. And, of course, the lovely Shoko.
The lovely Shoko. What did she say about the show?
She said it was great.
I bet she said my parts were good and yours sucked.
That's exactly what she said. That's exactly what she said, actually. Do give us some voicemail. We're trying to keep... It'll be interesting to see the length of this show. We're trying some experiments here that Pat's not really happy with because I've got a little chess clock in here.
I mean, he's making me smack the clock when I talk because he only wants me to talk for so long.
And you know what? It's not working. There's no controlling the Pat. But we just want to try to keep the show a little bit shorter because...
Jeff wants it shorter.
Well, I just can't...
Jeff wants it shorter.
I can't help but think that people don't want a 50-minute show or whatever. But give us some voicemail at 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255.
Or send me an email message to tell me how much you think Jeff is a dork at pat@thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or send me an email message to tell me how... how irreverent Pat can be. Jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com. Or you can email us both to tell us that we both really, really suck. Jeff and Pat@thisandthatpodcast.com. So until next week, which actually will be in the booth pretty quickly again here, huh?
Yep.
Yep. Until next week, mahalo.
Bye.
That's my new goodbye thing. I stole it from Adam... Adam, who's the guy?
Curry?
No, not Adam Curry.
Adam Sandler?
Not Adam Sandler. Adam, the guy that's on the Comedy
Adam and
Channel.
Eve?
He used to be with Drew on Loveline, Dr. Drew and
don't
Adam.
Don't know.
Okay. Mahalo.
Mahalo, okay. And mine will be Courage.
Courage. Hey, let's do that on three. 1, 2, 3. Courage.